If you have your copy of God's Word, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 15 through 19 this morning. Colossians chapter 1, starting with verse 15. And when you get there, if you'll stand for the reading of God's Word, if you're able to this morning. Colossians chapter 1. Starting with verse 15. And here the Bible says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell." Father, thank You for the reading of Your Word this morning. I'm praying now, God, that You anoint me for a few minutes to be able to expound upon this text. May You be glorified. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Last year, about this time, we were preaching a message on the theme for our church for 2016. Can anybody remember what that theme was? Unto the furtherance of the gospel. That was our theme for 2016. And as I reflected back upon the past year of this church and the things that we've been doing, I realized that we fulfilled that theme very well. I started counting all the things that we tried to do to be able to further the gospel this past year, and I noticed that we send out monthly support for 12 different missionary families all across the world. I believe the Lord blesses us for that effort. I believe that it's His mandate that we spread the gospel unto every creature. And one of the ways that we can do that is when we support missions. I'm a heavy believer in supporting of missions. I believe that people all over this world need to hear about Jesus. There'll be people that won't have the opportunity or the privilege to hear about Him in any other way except for someone that God has sent that's laid on their heart to go and tell people about Jesus. And they need to hear about it. And we had a part in that by helping further the gospel through missions. We also sent out over 6,000 invitation flyers through the mail in Knox County in about a 10-mile radius of this church. We sent out over 6,000 mailings, all that had the plan of the gospel on the back, of the plan of salvation with a gospel message. And I believe the Lord has blessed us in those efforts. We knocked on well over 200 doors in the last half of this past year as we went around the community telling people about Jesus, giving them a gospel tract and inviting them to church. We've had over 9,303 downloads of our sermons on sermon audio of people listening to the Word of God all over this world. I believe our biggest listening audience was actually in Australia, of all places, downloaded more sermons of our church than any other country in this whole world. But we've had people over in such places as Japan and Bangladesh and China and Russia. I mean, all over the world, they're listening to our sermons and our services and our songs. We had several hundred other people that's listened to and watched our videos on YouTube as we've tried to share the gospel that way. Also on social media, on Facebook and Twitter. You may not be a fan of those, but friends, I want you to know you can use those things for the good. And through our church, through our Facebook website, we've shared the gospel with thousands and thousands of people. We've gotten all kinds of feedback and emails and inboxes and messages through Facebook concerning the Lord and things that the people have heard from our church just through social media. So I believe we've done very well in our furtherance of the gospel theme of last year. And by no means are we going to stop that theme. In fact, I believe we can double our efforts in 2017. But this year, as I was studying the Word of God and asking the Lord what He would have us have a theme for this year, and you may think a theme is silly, but I believe that we need to have a goal in mind. I believe we need to have a vision in our lives for what we're going to do for the Lord. And the way we receive that vision is by reading His Word and by praying and listening to the Word of God. And in that, as I tried to find out from the Lord what He would have us to focus our attention on this year, I believe it to be this, as we read from our Bible here about the preeminence of Christ. But I believe it's the preeminence of the Word of God is what He wants to focus our attention on for 2017. So our theme, if you will, as I've been alluding to it for a few weeks, and I gave you the little hint in the bulletin. I don't believe anybody in here beat Sister Shirley of trying to figure out what that theme was. And she must have texted me, I don't know, a dozen times asking, is this it? Is this it? And she actually got it. Right there at the end. But our theme this year is where the Word of God is preeminent. Where the Word of God is preeminent. Now, we know that word preeminent means first in rank, first in order, the very beginning, the first of all things. And so I want, when people think of Highland Baptist Church, I want them to think, you know what, that's the church where the Word of God is preeminent. Where the Word of God is the most important thing to those people down there. Those people love the Word of God. If they can't say anything else about our church, I want them to say that church places the Word of God preeminent in their lives. The definition, like I said, of preeminent is to be first in rank or to hold first place above everything else. It is the Word of God that we learn everything that we need to know about the Lord, about Jesus Christ, about how to be saved, about how to live our lives. In the Word of God, we learn all these things. And it should be preeminent, should be first in the lives of a Christian. I believe that the Bible ought to be the predominant book in your home. I believe it ought to be the number one book that you think of when you think about your favorite book. People ask you, what's your favorite book? I believe the first thing that should come to our mind should be the Bible, the Word of God. Some people say, oh, well, that goes without saying. No, it doesn't go without saying. If somebody asks you, what's your favorite book? You should say the Bible. The Word of God is my favorite book. And then after that, you may have a list of favorite books after that. I don't know. But I believe the Word of God should be the favorite book of the Christian. Because it's our substance. It's the thing that we live on. It's the words that enter into us. It's the bread of life for us that we exist upon. In our opening text here in Colossians, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Colossae. Now, he's writing to saved people. How do we know that? Well, there in verse 2 of Colossians 1, it says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. So he's writing to saved people. He's writing to people like you and me. People that have at one time realized their lost condition. The Holy Spirit convicted their heart that they were lost. They repented of their sins and trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's saved people. That's who makes up the church. You don't become a church member without being saved. The only way you're a church member is if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so Paul is speaking to saved people when he's writing here. He starts out in verse 15 describing who Jesus Christ is. He says there, he calls him the image of the invisible God. Now, you know I often say this, that Jesus is God, robed himself in flesh. That God is a spirit. No man has seen God. No man can look upon God without dying, of course. The Bible tells us that. But God is a spirit. And so for him to get down on our level, for us to see him face to face, for us to be in his presence here as a human being, he took upon the image and form of a man. He was born of a virgin in Bethlehem, and he lived here for approximately 33 and a third years as a man, as a human being. 100% God, but 100% man. He felt pain. He felt all the things that we feel. He's experienced all the things we've experienced. And so when the Bible says he's the image of the invisible God, that means the God that we cannot see, the Spirit, he is the one that we can see. He's the Jesus part of the Trinity. And he calls him the firstborn of every creature. To the Jews, being firstborn is very significant. To them, they know when they hear the word firstborn, that's the one that receives the inheritance. It's the rightful heir of the inheritance. And so the Bible says here that Jesus is the firstborn of every creature. Above all things, he's preeminent above all things on this earth and in this world and in the heavens. That's what Paul's trying to say. Jesus is the rightful heir to the Father's inheritance to every creature, above every creature. Then Paul in verse 16 starts describing the work of Jesus. Look at it. Verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Well, just as the Apostle John wrote over in his Gospels there in John chapter 1, in the very beginning, he says, "In the beginning was the Word." We know the Word is Jesus Christ. And he says, "In the beginning." He didn't say in Bethlehem. He didn't say over there in the city of David, the Word began. He said, "In the beginning." In other words, at the beginning. I mean, He has always been. And for us, we see a beginning. We always look at things at the beginning. But for God, He's always existed. And so Jesus, it says, by Him were all things created. John said that the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. So there's absolutely no doubt at all that Jesus is the Creator. Jesus is there with God all the time. He's always been. He is God. Verse 17, Paul says, "And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." That's another interesting statement right there. He says He is before all things. Before all things. In other words, it all begins with Him. Now, when I was going through Crown College getting my master's in ministry, of course, Pastor Clarence Sexton was the main teacher that I would listen to and sermons and things to have to do my schoolwork through. But he always had this saying, and he actually has a really great sermon if you ever listen to it. It's called "It All Begins with God." And Pastor Sexton, over and over and over throughout my studies in seminary, I always heard those words, "It all begins with God." Every time you start to think of something, everything that you do, everything that you see, everything you experience in your life, it all began with God. Everything began with God because He's preeminent. It all begins with God. In fact, the Bible says in Revelation 1 and 8, Jesus said, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." So He is. That's why the Bible says, "I am." There's no other way to be able to say who God is. "I am." God says, "I am." And so it all begins with God. He's preeminent. Jesus did not begin in Bethlehem. He has always been. Jesus is the Jehovah of the Old Testament. And so He's always been. He's the Jesus of the New. Verse 18, Paul goes on to say, "And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have," here's the word, "the preeminence." In all things He might have the preeminence. This is the verse that when I was studying and praying and asking God what to reveal to me for our theme this year, this was the verse that stood out to me, and God said, "Hey, this is it right here. The preeminence of Christ. The preeminence of My Word." As we just mentioned, the way that John introduced Jesus as the Word. The Word. And so that's who we're talking about today. He gets the preeminence. Without a head, the Bible says here He is the head of the church. Without a head on a body, we're the body, by the way, in case nobody's ever told you that. People that are saved, that, like I said, you're saved, you then belong to the church. The church of God, you become a body. You're the body that we're talking about. But everybody has to have a head. Without a head, a body cannot operate. Like if you cut my head off, well, I'm going to die, of course. But without this head, without the brain in this head telling the body what to do and guiding the arms and the legs and the mouth and the eyes and the ears and all these things, without that head, the body cannot operate. The body can't exist. And so the Bible tells us real clear right here that the head of the body, which is the church, is Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church. And thank God for that. I'm glad there's no man that's the head of the church. Because man would mess things up. Man would get involved, and man would have his own ideas. Man would have his own thoughts, and man would destroy the church. But not God. Even the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. Why? Because God's the head of it. God's the head. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He's the head of us. He's the head of the church body. Without the body, without the church, or with the head, the body can't function. And with the wrong head, the body will function wrongly. You get the wrong leadership, the wrong head, the wrong operating, it's not going to work properly. Paul said, "In all things He might have the preeminence." You see that? In all things. That means the Lord Jesus comes first in every single thing. Every single thing. Sadly, today, most men think that they come first. Most men, you ask men, what's the most important thing? Well, He's the most important thing. I'm the most important thing. You know, as long as I get fed, as long as I get my thirst quenched, as long as I get sleep, as long as I got a job, as long as I get an income, as long as I have a car, it's all about me. But the Bible says here it's all about Jesus. He's first. He's preeminent. So the first thought that ought to come to our mind, like we were talking about all those blessings that they sung about, how the Lord blesses us, the first thought that ought to come to our mind, it wasn't because of anything I've done. It wasn't because I did something that we were able to go and buy groceries and have a full shelf and a full refrigerator. It's because the Lord. He's preeminent. Because the Lord is the one that allowed that to happen. He's the one that blessed it. Now, all things in our life are because God has blessed us. One thing we must realize is everything we know about God, everything we know about Jesus, we have learned from this Bible right here. If you've learned about Him from any other source, then you've learned wrong. The things we know about God and about Jesus Christ are in His Word. Everything He wants us to know is in here. It's here. So it's our job to find out and discover what exactly it is He's trying to tell us. And I know I say this a lot, but the Bible is one big long love story. It's a big old long love letter from the Lord to us. And it's to introduce us to Him, to show us who He is, and to help us, and to introduce us to His Son, Jesus Christ, so that we can fall in love with Him, and so that we can be saved. That's a whole love letter through here to us, to man. And without reading that, and you know, if you think about it, back when you first met that person you loved, men, that lady that you love, you fell in love with, you saw her like I did when I saw my wife walk into that church that night. And I was sitting in the choir. She wasn't my wife then. She was my best friend's girlfriend. And I saw her walk in the doors of the church at Clear Springs Baptist Church. They were having revival that night. I can't remember who was even preaching. I don't remember anything about the revival. But I do remember when that angel walked through the front doors. And I was sitting in the choir. And I mean, my heart started going like that. I mean, I come undone like Isaiah did. And my best friend sitting here, he said, "That's my girlfriend." And I said, "Not for long." And it was just about a couple of weeks and we were dating and we've been together ever since. We're going to celebrate 32 years of marriage in March 15th. And praise God for that. But if you think about it, when you met that person you love, man, when you met that woman you love, what's the first thing you did after you introduced yourself very badly? You wrote her a letter. You wrote a letter and you told her how much you thought about her, how much you loved her and how beautiful she was and all these things. You'd write back and forth and you would treasure those letters. And when you got one of those letters from her, you got it back, you couldn't open it fast enough. I mean, you had to read that thing. You didn't stick it in your pocket and walk around all day and not think about it. You didn't throw it up on the dash of your car and leave it there all week for the sun to bake. You didn't toss it on the coffee table at home and let the dust collect on it. What'd you do? You ripped it open and you read it. And you read it over and over and over because you loved it. Because it was from the person that you loved. Why do we think the Bible's any different? We claim we love Jesus Christ. And we want to know about Him. Well, how do we do that? We open up His Word and read His letter to us. We don't throw it on the dash of the car and leave it there all week. We don't lay it on the coffee table to collect dust. We don't do any of these things. What do? We open it up and say, "What do you have for me, Lord? Show me, Lord, show me." And so we read and study His Word. You can't have the Word of God being preeminent without Jesus. Jesus and the Word of God go together. You can't have one without the other. And so the Bible says that He is preeminent, so the Word of God must be preeminent in our lives. The Apostle Paul, he's talking to his young son in the faith, Timothy, and he says this over in 1 Timothy 3, 14 and 15. He said, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, and thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God." Now listen to what he says, how he claims the church is. He says it's the pillar and ground of the truth. We, the church, not this building. You don't mean this building's the pillar and ground of truth. It means the people in this building, the church body, those that's been saved, they are the pillar and the ground of truth. Where did the truth come from? Jesus. Jesus is our source for truth. The world today needs truth because the world is in a state of I mean, they're worshiping Satan today. I'll just say it like that. The world today is falling after Satan. He is controlling most of the world today. The world doesn't love Jesus. The world doesn't know the truth. They're caught up in a lie. Satan is a deceiver. He's the father of all lies. And so people are deceived by Satan. So they need to know the truth. How are they going to know the truth? The church. That's how God operates. That's how God introduces people now to His Son Jesus, is through the church. Because we have to make Him preeminent in our lives. And then we tell others about Jesus. He says we're the pillar and the ground of truth. The only way that we can be the pillar and ground of truth is if the Word of God is preeminent in our church. Preeminent. We can't have some other book being preeminent in church. There's no catechism or anything like that that we say is above the Word of God. We don't pull out these little other writings and say, we're going to follow this and then the Word of God. You know, a lot of religions do that. They have their own little book. When we were knocking on doors, of a Roman Catholic, and we were introducing them to Jesus and trying to share the gospel, and they said they were very strong in their faith as in Roman Catholicism. And we started asking, well, where would you go when you get saved? And she said, purgatory. And then we're like, purgatory, that's not in the Bible. And she says, we use other books. We use other books. Well, the only book that we use as Bible-believing people, as Christians, is the Word of God. And I will say, I'll go a step further and say it's the King James Bible. For English-speaking people, it's the authorized King James Bible that we believe and we follow, we preach from, we teach from. Now, I know today that offends a lot of people. And they say, well, my children can't understand the King James Bible. Bless their heart. They need to get them a concordance. They need to get a dictionary. They need to get something if it's that difficult. But I know most children today can operate a smartphone. They can do things that you can't do on that smartphone. They figure it out. They're smart enough. Trust me, they're smart enough to understand the King James Bible. I understood it when I was a young man, and I got saved by it. Has things changed that much that six-year-olds can't understand the Word of God now? Or have they become that dumb? I don't think so. I don't think so. So for the Word of God to be preeminent, the church must put it first and foremost in everything that we do. Every office that we may have created, every ministry we might put into effect, every outreach, every visitation, anything that we do, we must first look at the Word of God and see how it lines up. If it don't line up with the Word of God, it gets cut. Okay? If it's not, doesn't line up with the Word of God, it has no business being anything to do with the church. I'm not against programs. If it's a godly program and it's biblical and there's a need for it, then I'm for it if there's somebody there that will do it. But just to have a program, just to say, I hope we can get some people in by offering this program, that's the wrong attitude to have. That's the wrong way to look at it. The first thing we need to do is say is, what does God think we need? Does God think we need this type of program? Does God think we need this? Let's look at the Word of God and see how it lines up. And if it don't line up, it don't happen. A church whose number one focus on doing other things except for the preeminence of the Word of God is a church that is bound for failure. It's bound for failure. Now, somebody may walk into this church and they'll say, well, look at all these empty seats over here. There's not very many people there. They must not be very successful. They must have some kind of problem. But what they don't see is the way that God sees success in a church. You may fill pews by doing the wrong things. You may fill pews by offering things that's not lined up with the Word of God. There are many good things that can be done, and a lot of churches will do good things, but they don't make the preeminence the Word of God. For example, let me give you an example. We could focus all of our attentions on doing good deeds in the community. We could go from house to house and say, what can I do for you? How can I rebuild your porch? Can I help you roof your house? Can I do this and do that? And those are good things. There's nothing wrong with those things. If you have the time and the ability and the talent to do that, that's fine. But when the church has its focus on doing good deeds instead of the Word of God, making the Word of God preeminent, then that church is bound for failure. It's gone the wrong way. It's not doing what we need to do. And while good deeds are good things, they cannot take the preeminence over the Word of God. We must have the Word of God first and foremost in the church. I've watched over the years some really good, solid Baptist churches that once were Bible-teaching, Bible-believing, putting the Word of God preeminent, seeing souls saved, going out and trying to spread the gospel. I saw them turn into this man-centered, helping church that wants to do deeds. And so all the messages, all the lessons, all the Sunday school lessons, all these things are focused on how you can do good deeds for other people. And so then we see that the Word of God becomes second. It is no longer preeminent. Secondly, many churches today have turned into these so-called self-help centers. Self-help centers. All focus is on how to improve yourself. It's all about man. In other words, the preeminence in that church is man instead of God and the Word of God. And so every message that's preached is centered upon man and what you can do to help you, yourself, and not necessarily by trusting the things of the Lord or what the Bible says. And so they'll get their messages from other sources, not necessarily the Word of God, but maybe from psychiatrists and psychologists and the number one best-selling book in the New York Times list or what some great motivational speaker may say, or the guru over here that has the church with 30,000 people, and we'll take his book and we'll focus all of our attention on what he says to do. And so then the Word of God becomes meaningless to them. And the preeminence is on man instead of the Word of God. And there are things that may be good, but they want to focus on your self-esteem. They want to focus on how to balance your home and work life, how to cope with a rowdy teenager. Now, there's nothing wrong with understanding how to do these things, but that is not the preeminence of the church. That's not the goal and mission of the church. The mission of the church is to share the gospel, to spread the gospel unto every creature. That is what our focus should be upon. Now, all these things are covered in the Word of God, and you can preach and teach messages on certain things, but it must come from the Word of God. When you want to know about how to raise your child or your teenager or something, focus on the Word of God and say, well, this is what the Word of God says here, how to train up your child and the way he should go and things. But many churches have turned into these so-called self-help centers. From the pulpit of the largest church in America, and that's what the news media says, this church, where is it, in Houston, Texas, Lakewood? I'm throwing the name out there. They say this is the largest congregation in all the United States. 52,000 people every Sunday flock to the arena to hear a message by their pastor. Now, I've went through and studied a lot of the sermons that their pastor preaches. I've listened to them. I've watched the videos of them. I've read some of his books. And let me tell you some of the messages you may hear from that particular church. 7 steps to living at your full potential. Your best life now. It's your time. Become a better you. Don't let people label you. Have a positive mindset. Now, these are messages from their pastor to their church. Now, I forced myself to listen to those last two that I just told you. Don't let people label you and have a positive mindset. I listened to both of those sermons. I watched the videos. And I'll go ahead and tell you honestly, he's a great speaker. I mean, he can speak. He is very charismatic. He's very likable. And I can understand the draw that people may have to that type of speaking. But he's not preaching. In all of the sermons that I watched online, the videos from where he preached, there was no mention of the shed blood of Christ. There was no mention of the cross of Calvary. There was no mention of being a sinner and having to repent of your sins. There was no plan of salvation given. There was no altar call given. In fact, there was no reading from the Word of God given as I was watching that. But all the knowledge and the wisdom that was coming from the pulpit was coming from the mind of the man that was speaking and not the Word of God. So the Word of God was not being preeminent. Now, will that draw large crowds? Obviously it will. 52,000 people go to hear a motivational speech every Sunday. But that's not preaching. That's not what the church is for. Now, am I here to drag down other churches and things? No, I'm not. I'm focused on this church right here, the one that God called me to preach in. And that is that the Word of God will be preeminent in Highland Baptist Church. And like I said at the beginning, anybody that thinks of this church, I want them to think that's the church that places the Word of God above everything else. What, you're going to go down there and try to do something silly? You better watch out, because they put the Word of God first. You better find out that's lined up with God's Word. But everything in that other type of the self-help church, the good deeds church, all these things, they're all man-centered. Everything about it is man-centered and not God-centered. that same church, and I'll get off this in a minute, that same church, I heard their pastor actually get on national television in an interview, I believe it was Larry King Live, and it was asking him about the way to go to heaven. And he said, "Is Jesus Christ the only way?" And you never heard such stammering and stuttering and making up excuses and all. And I think it is. That's what I. But you know, who's to say? I'm not the judge of any man. That's what I heard coming out of the mouth. I want you to know, if somebody asks you how you get to heaven, say, "Well, let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says that it's only through Jesus Christ that you will get to heaven." That means you, Jew. That means you, Muslim. That means you, Buddhist. If you want to go to heaven, you've got to trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ to save you from your sins to be able to go to heaven. There's no other way. Jesus says, "I'm the door." Jesus said, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life, and no man coming unto the Father but by me." Period. And so we must say, this is what the Word of God says. You may notice every time I preach, the first words that come out of my mouth is, if you have your copy of God's Word. I don't ask you if you have your copy of your Word, or some man's Word, or the dictionary, or an encyclopedia. Do you have your copy of God's Word? And then I will start out and I'll say, here, the Bible says. Not what Byron says. Not what some other man may say, or the pastor of a megachurch may say. But this is what the Bible says, what God says. Now listen, I know we go through struggles in life. There's things we need help with, and we need a place to reach out and get help. I want you to know your help, your source comes from the Word of God. It comes from the Lord, Jesus. It don't have to come from the self-help gurus. Man without God is a disaster waiting to happen. I mean, just a disaster. If you look back on all those world empires we've been studying about lately, Babylon and Greece and Persia and Rome, how many of those kingdoms are standing today? Not a single one of them. You know why? Their preeminence was on man. Their leadership, their man. If our preeminence is on man, we're going to fail. We're going to stumble. We're going to fall. But if our preeminence is on the Word of God, I know that we're going to stand. The reason the Word of God must be preeminent is because it's the only source that where we obtain the information on how to be saved. You wouldn't know how to be saved if it wasn't for the Bible. Nobody would be able to tell you. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The Bible is very powerful, my friends. It's very powerful. Jesus said over in the Gospel of John 5:24, He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Did you see that? How do you get saved? The Bible says, Jesus said, "He that heareth my word." My word. Where do we hear his word from? The Word of God. It must be preeminent. Without the Word of God, we don't know how to be saved. So, with our theme for 2017 being where the Word of God is preeminent, what are some of the things we need to do? Let me give you three things and we'll be finished. First of all and foremost, we must study the Word of God. Now, I know kids are in school and you think study. That sounds brutal. Once you get into the Word of God and you fall in love with it, friends, you don't want to do anything else. You want to read it. You want to find out about it. Just like that love letter from that one that you love. You want to read it and see what they have to say to you. It's to you. Some people approach the Bible like it's some old, you know, history book, archaic history book that has nothing to do with them. Every word in here has something to do with you. Every word. We must study the Word of God. On Wednesday nights, here in Highland Baptist Church, we have Bible study. We go through books of the Bible, verse by verse, line upon line, precept on precept. We look at words, we examine words, and we go. It takes us a while. We get through the books. We just started a study in the book of Jeremiah, where there's, what, there are 52, 54, I can't remember right off, chapters in there. It's going to take us about 2 years. If you want to know about the Word of God, we have ample opportunities to learn the Word of God. Our Sunday school classes, that's what we teach in Sunday school, is the Word of God. in my class in the Bereans, we've been going through the book of Daniel for several weeks. We just finished chapter 11 today, and it's been some exciting studies. But we're learning what the Word of God has to say about us. Sure, it's dealing with the children of Israel. It's dealing with God's people. But it's also dealing with the future for us and man. The other teachers in our church, they're teaching from the Bible. We must make sure, secondly, that the things that we do, I've already said it, here in this church, line up with the Word of God. Every single thing must line up with God's Word. A program, a song you sing, a class we may start, a new ministry we may begin, whatever we do, it must begin with the Word of God. And it must be the authority on everything that's done. If it doesn't, we do away with it. Thirdly, we must practice and implement the doctrine and teachings of the Word of God. You must implement them in your life. It's one thing to read the Word of God. It's another thing to read it and do it. Don't be deceived. When you read the Word of God, these things are what He's saying for you to do. We need to be doing. We've got to implement these in our lives. What does that mean? Well, the Bible tells us we're to live a holy and separated life. We're not to live like the world lives. We're not to talk like the world, act like the world, live like the world, do the things of the world. We're to be a separated people, separated from the world and unto God. The teachings of the Bible say that. So we must implement that in our lives. We also must share the gospel with every creature. That's what the Bible says. And so the Word of God places the preeminence on us going out and sharing the gospel. We're His ambassadors. If you want a good title, tell everybody you're an ambassador. Next time somebody asks you what you are or what your title is, say, I'm an ambassador. That'll really excite them, won't it? Until you tell them it's for God. And then they probably won't be as excited. But we're ambassadors for the Lord Jesus to go out and tell people about Christ. We share the gospel with every creature, and we also should be an example, a godly example of how Christians live in this world. Because, quite frankly, the way Christians are living in this world today, they're a poor example for this world. People look at a Christian and say, well, they're no different than me. Why would I want what they have? They're no better off than I am. We got Christians today that take the grace of God and pervert it and say that they're able to do these things because they're under God's grace. God's grace don't allow you to go in a bar and drink a beer. God's grace don't allow you to go and peruse pornographic magazines or websites. God's grace doesn't allow you to do those things. Don't pervert God's grace and say, just because I'm under His grace and saved by grace, I can do these things and it'd be okay. That's a perversion, friends. We've got to live a separated, holy life, like the Bible says, for the world. Because we are, what? The pillar and ground of truth. That's where they learn it from. It's from us. And we must raise our families on the Word of God. Raise their families on the Word of God. Some people today want to get the book by Dr. Spock to learn how to raise their child. Throw that thing in the garbage and get the Word of God and say, God, show me. God, show me from Your Word how to raise my family. There's a lot of churches that's known for a lot of things. If you sit and think about it real hard, you'll think of churches that are known for one certain thing. There's a church here in Knoxville that's known for the living Christmas tree. And that's good. They're a good church too. I love their pastor. He preaches good messages. But when you think of that church, you think that's where the living Christmas tree is. You may think of that church, that's the singing church. That's all they focus on is their singing. And I mean, they've got great singing. Not so much for the preaching though. Yeah. They're one of those churches where we had a good service today. There was no preaching. I'm always a little leery over that. I like it when the Spirit breaks out, and I know when that happens, and you know when that happens, when it's real, when the Holy Spirit touches men and women, and there's not time maybe for the preaching, or the preaching's done through that person that God is the Holy Spirit's entered in, and they're testifying, and things break out, and there's songs and singing. I understand that, and I love that. But when that happens every single service, and there's no preaching, the Word of God is never opened, and trust me, about 15 years ago, we visited a church looking for churches at that time, and we never heard the preacher preach. We went, I don't know how many weeks we went, and he never preached. And it was always, and the people sitting in front of us, they would look at each other and say, we're going to have another good service today. No preaching. When I leave a service and there's not been any preaching, I'm very disturbed. Unless, like I said, it's been real and it's been a real thing. We don't work up a service and say that it was the Holy Spirit. I've been in services where people look around and say, well, it looks kind of dead in here. So what do? They work up a service. And you might have some lady get up and start yelling real loud and running and jumping and clapping and all this to work things up. I saw that backfire. I saw that happen. And I saw a couple that was looking for a church get up and walk out the door because they were looking for a Bible church. They were looking for a church where they were believing in the Word of God, and they saw that it was not real. And so we must be very careful not to be known as one of these churches that do this or do that. It's the sport church, it's the program church, it's the basketball church or whatever it is, the fishing church, unless it's fishing for men. But we need to be the church where the Word of God is preeminent. Preeminent. Because when the Word of God is preeminent, Christ is preeminent. And why should we want that? Because what it says in the very last verse of our text, verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Everything in Jesus Christ. It pleases the Father. When we put the Word of God as preeminent, it pleases the Father. I want them to come and get the invitation song. And as they're coming, I do want to mention this. If you didn't get a bulletin this morning, there's a Bible study guide in your bulletin. This will allow you to read the entire Bible in 1 year by reading it 5 times a week. So you've got a lenience. If you miss one day, you've still got another day you can make it up. It gives you the verses. If you open it up, there's verses that you're to read, the books and the chapter and the verse. If you will follow this guide and check off the list, by the end of the year, this time next year, you have read the Word of God. If you didn't get a bulletin, we've got about 40 more out there on that table in a little plastic holder. Get one and start studying and reading the Word of God. Let's make it preeminent, not only in our church, but in our lives.